from LPM.
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
Welcome back to Money Memories. This is your host, Ilona. Did you know that 13% of U.S. drivers are uninsured? This week's guest, Murray McDonald, is on a mission to change that. Murray is the co-founder of the insurtech company JustInsure, which aims to provide affordable coverage using advanced data analytics. Murray grew up in South Africa and talks about how witnessing extreme income disparities influenced his belief in the importance of equal access. Let's jump in. Welcome to Money Memories, Murray. That's a lot of alliteration. How are you doing today?
Very well, thanks, Ilona. Thank you very much for having me on.
I'm so thrilled to have you on the show. We have so much to talk about, so let's just dive in. Can you tell listeners a little bit about how and where you grew up?
Sure. So I grew up in Johannesburg, South Africa, during the apartheid era. When I was 12, Nelson Mandela was released. And, you know, my childhood experiences, you know, living in that era, you know, really taught me a lot about fairness, opportunity, and particularly the wealth gap. You know, no matter how, you know, how bad you think you have it, there's always someone else who has it worse. Yeah, but I had a happy upbringing, and I look back a lot with very fond memories from when I grew up.
Yeah, I think with that kind of context, you probably have a lot of really rich experiences to share. But before we dive into those, I'd love to hear what your earliest or most impactful money memory is.
Well, I'll give you two, right? I'm going to give you quite a lot of twos. I like working in twos anyway. But these two kind of like linked later on in life. So number one was, you know, in South Africa, seeing my first squatter camp. For those of you who don't know what a squatter camp is, basically it's a shanty town where people have come together, you know, usually from like rural areas and so on, don't have much money, and, you know, try and make houses from whatever they can and try and make, you know, a life. You know, it was really shocking to see that, you know, so many people had so little, you know, thousands of people, you know, living in squalor, you know, many family members in a single room. You know, you don't realize how much you have until you see those sorts of situations. The second one is around my kind of like my late dad. He was an actuary, and he worked his entire life in the life insurance companies. I mean, how boring can you get, right? But, you know, as a kid, you don't kind of see it that way, really. And I used to see him sitting at his desk, you know, at home, going through these like sheets and sheets of like the perforated paper from the old dot matrix printers that he used to have. And he'd be going through like line by line of numbers. I was like, Dad, what you doing? And he told me about this like really cool idea and to do with his job. And he said, you know, there's this thing called insurance. And how it works is that you give a little bit of money every month, and then if something bad happens, that you are financially protected against that thing. So, you know, this other company or institution will kind of take care of it and pay that out. And that really, I thought that was really a really cool idea. You know, I think it's a shame now that, you know, that the insurance industry, I think it's kind of lost like some of that kind of customer like focus and that real kind of like value that you can kind of get out there. I think the insurance industry has a well-deserved bad reputation because they have acted so poorly over so many years. We want to change that with Just, and that's the crux of it, right? Our company Just, you know, we are an auto insurance company, but, you know, part of the real core values of our company is trying to provide something that is really fair to people. We don't judge you on your zip code or your credit rating or anything else like that. It's about you, right? And we really want to provide an offering that helps to kind of change this industry to really kind of get back to those values that we think are really important, and that really cool idea of just being there to help people.
Awesome. Wow. What those are two very, they couldn't be more polar opposite money memories in some way from kind of the first one you shared and the memory of your dad. And we're going to talk about Just and the work that you're doing in your company in just a second. But before we get there, I want to spend a little more time in terms of, you know, your background and growing up. So with kind of those two memories in mind, how was money treated or discussed at home or around you while you were growing up? And how do you think that's kind of shaped your perspective on financial decisions as an adult?
Yeah. So my parents, you know, they didn't come from much. My mum was from a family of Swedish missionaries, and my dad, he had a single mum. His dad unfortunately died when he was only a few months old. And kind of going back to that era, yeah, you know, there was really quite tough. They didn't have much. So the result of that was, you know, my parents worked incredibly hard and to get where they were. And they were themselves very prudent, and they taught those sort of same like values and principles, you know, to me and my siblings as well. You know, always to save, always to be prudent, and really appreciate what you have as well. Yeah, I think, you know, in kind of modern life, you know, it is kind of easy to look at others and say, oh, you know, yeah, I don't have much, you know, but actually you do, right? And you just do. And I think that has, again, kind of really shaped how I think about things, you know. Yeah, again, kind of going back to some of those like earlier memories, you know, it's always kind of stuck with me that, you know, I just, you know, just have, we have much more than you actually think you do. And it doesn't really matter if you've not got the latest car or the latest this or that or whatever, right? You know, are you happy? Are you, you know, and, you know, are you helping out others?
I'm sensing a couple of trends emerge from what you shared. Like, one is scrappiness, and two is potentially risk aversion. And spoiler alert, today you're the founder of a successful startup called Just. So was that always in the cards for you? Or can you talk a little bit more about, you know, what motivated you to start your journey as an entrepreneur?
So Just was my fifth startup, right? Second as a founder. I love startups. I love being able to do something different, move the needle, to try and do something that no one's done before. My background is I have worked for kind of my background is basically in two halves, right? Tech and insurance. And on the tech side, you know, I worked for some great big tech companies, but I really wanted to kind of apply that to an industry. And insurance, because of my background, you know, kind of came to mind. I saw a huge opportunity there, and so decided to get stuck into that space. But, you know, I worked for one smaller, what, mid-sized insurance company before starting up Just, and, you know, I was quite frustrated at not being able, you know, we made these companies much more efficient and, you know, so on and so forth, but, you know, it's different doing being the boss and being able to kind of really, really shape what this thing is going to be. And so, you know, towards the end of my like stint with one of these companies, you know, I was like, I've had it. You know, I need to do this. And it just so happened that my business partner, Robert Smithson, you know, he had finished up at the sale of previous business of his. He is also a serial entrepreneur. And, you know, we started to talk here. And I'd worked with Rob for the first time like 20 years ago. We had very much kind of stayed in contact. And we started to find some really shocking things. Things like there's 13% of drivers in the US are uninsured. It's a really shocking figure. In the UK, it's less than 1%. In the US, 13% equals 35 million Americans. And the big question is why? Why is that happening? right? And of course, there's a number of different kind of like reasons there, from everything from, you know, public transport and the access to it and the cost of insurance. But a lot of the time, it's because large insurance companies actually try and avoid low-income consumers. And it's not because they think they're worse drivers. We don't think that's fair, right? And this is one of the things that we really wanted to address at Just. And we wanted to create a system that is much, much more accessible to a load of people, to everyone, and is much fairer to everyone as well. You only pay for what you use. You can sign up in 60 seconds, and we don't take your credit score into account at all. Everything is based on how safely you drive in the context of where you are driving and what the conditions are.
Given that you've had extensive experience, you know, in this field, what in your opinion makes, you know, now the right set of circumstances for innovation in this space, and what makes it so compelling as an investment option?
Absolutely. I think the insurance industry as a whole, and, you know, I would argue that the US market in particular, you know, is really stuck in a quagmire of doing things the old way, right? And their business processes, their, you know, all their infrastructure and their teams and their resources and everything is in concrete, embedded in the old. I think that the rise of insurtechs, you know, now it's finally getting to a stage where, you know, people can see that opportunity to kind of change this market. You know, it is expensive to start up an insurance company, right? We're going to get into that a little bit later, but it is expensive. There's a lot of regulatory capital that you need to put aside. There's all sorts of, you know, it is a highly regulated market as well, which, you know, does provide barriers to entry. But when it comes to the technology side, you know, one of those, like, you know, one of the key reasons why this is the right time is we can now, with mobile phones and with other technology, start to get a personalized risk score for the individual, right? Not for the group. So, you know, when going through a normal traditional insurance, like a sign-up process, what you would do is, you would put in pages and pages and pages of information, right? Like, you know, your personal information, including, you know, did you go to college, all your home history, and that's just the stuff that you're entering. The insurance companies are then using that information to go get more information on you as well, right? But it's not to work out how safely you're driving or whatever. It's really all about what risk pool you sit in. It's a bucket that they're plopping you into, right? And, you know, now is the time where we can, you know, of course, those are highly refined pools and we can use some of that data. But we can go to the next level now, where we can actually get the risk score for the actual individual based on the activity that they're actually doing, right? So that's actually number one. Number one is actually being able to get that personalized risk. Number two, and this is something that we're very, very, very passionate about, is going beyond that. You know, insurance a lot of the time is kind of really kind of quite like passive and reactive to things, right? Once you've done it, then we'll do the payout. Well, why don't we try and help people to stop those bad things from happening in the first place, right? South Africa, going back to Johannesburg, we get these massive hailstorms sometimes where the hailstones are the size of golf balls. You leave your car out when one of those hailstorms hits and it's overs. Right, there's a lot of damage done to the windshield and to all the glass and the body panels and everything. It's a complete mess. Very expensive to fix. It's a pain in the ass. Arizona, the state that we are currently serving and are in, they have these same hailstorms. We can tell if you've left your car out in the open. We can tell through our data partners if a major hailstorm is coming your way. We let you know when your car is out in the open, and we tell you, hey, maybe it's a good idea to bring your car undercover. Helping people to manage that risk before, you know, as it's starting to come about and before the bad thing happens, right? We believe this is kind of like the next level, right? To help people and to manage their risk. And it's not just for, you know, things like weather and so on. It's also, you know, when people are driving, you know, there's lots of things that we can do, or we believe we can do, to really help people to manage that risk, to be more safe and stop bad things happening in the first place, right? So I think it's an incredibly exciting time from, you know, from a not a social care perspective, but from a social perspective. We can change society with these type of things. And with these big changes like this, right, I think there's a, you know, it's not going to take much to, you know, for insurance, all insurance, to be this way. So my message to investors would be, Would you want to back that, or would you want to back the dinosaurs who are going to die soon? I think it's an easy answer, an easy question. But yeah, what do I know?
No, I think that there's a lot. We've seen this kind of disruption across financial services in general. When you were talking about how archaic the system is, definitely could see some parallels in everything from banking to payments, et cetera. So that really resonated with me. You touched on this kind of earlier, but what's been the biggest financial obstacle that you've had to overcome either at Just or at one of your previous startups?
Yeah. So, you know, going back to, you know, the cost of doing insurance, yeah, and how expensive it is. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of your listeners will be quite shocked to hear that the customer acquisition cost, or the CAC, in the insurance industry as an average is super high. It's like above $500 per customer. That is a lot, right, to get on a customer. And that has certainly been the challenge. Luckily, we have a unique product that people really, really love. We're the highest rated car insurance app in the US with a rating of 4.5 in the App Store and 4.4 in the Google Store. That definitely helps. We also have one of the shortest, probably the shortest, sign-up process in the industry as well. Right, we don't ask you all that information because we can work out your personalized risk based on how you drive. Right, so you know, for most people, it should take around about 60 seconds to be insured. You enter in a few personal details, or you scan your driver's license, and we do that for you. You choose which car you want insured, or you scan your VIN number. You choose your package, and you pay via your card or PayPal or whatever. Right, and you're insured just like that. It's all done via the app. So that has really kind of like helped us out to dramatically like lower that CAC. But that was a, you know, that to the industry in particular is, you know, it's a super competitive market. And, you know, that is definitely, has definitely been a challenge. Thankfully that we've managed to overcome.
What's your perspective on the differences of running a startup in an emerging market versus a developed market? And are there any lessons that you kind of brought with you at having grown up in a more like an emerging market that have been valuable to your experience now?
That's an interesting question. All right. So my first startup that I was involved in was in South Africa. And it was, this is showing my age a bit, damn it. It was when the internet started to come about and people were, you know, kind of getting online. And this was at an internet service provider where it was still dial up. You had like 14.4K modems or 28.8K modems. If anyone's old enough to actually understand what that is, they're probably laughing right now. But you know, I helped them to set up their like call center there. But you know, that company, I was employee number 7, and it grew to 1,500 people in 3 years. So pretty phenomenal growth from a employee perspective. You know, revenue did follow that track, but profitability did not, right? They were going for kind of a growth model and they were bought out by one of their competitors. It was a pretty good exit, right? But they really kind of go for that kind of like that growth model. So my perspective from that kind of like emerging markets is really simply limited to that experience, right? And it was quite a few years ago as well. So I'm not sure I can answer that like brilliantly, but I can certainly say from my own personal experience. So an emerging market kind of like sale is there is opportunity there, number one, right? People think there isn't opportunity. Trust me. If you've got the right product or service, people will come and will come in droves and come in quick. So I definitely think there is opportunity there, particularly for something that, yeah, South Africa is the bottom of the world, basically, right? It's pretty down low south and so on. You know, there's to Europe and to America, even to Southeast Asia and so on, quite a far distance. And a product like the internet or a service like the internet, you know, that actually has a great deal of appeal because, of course, it's about connection, right? To the rest of the world. Anyway, so I think, you know, that is my kind of perspective on emerging markets. You know, there is certainly opportunity there. But it's about providing, you know, those, like anywhere really, it's providing those products and services that are really pertinent, you know, and provide value to those consumers in that particular market that may or may not be different to your more traditional markets. Saying that, you know, those industries, I mean, we've seen a lot of innovation in the insurtech space, actually, from emerging markets as well, right? Where, you know, you perhaps don't have as much of the kind of like the big dinosaur problem, you know, because, you know, it's a little bit easier to kind of like get in and to innovate and do something different before, you know, without having, you know, all the other like, you know, bad processes and the other stuff kind of like weighing you down. So yeah, maybe that's another one. Good place to test.
What is your ultimate ambition for Just? Like, what is the success metric that you guys have put on yourselves for this company?
We want to lower that number. That 13%, I find that quite a disturbing number. And we have a great deal of passion to change that number. Second of all, you know, we're in one state now. We're in Arizona. In 2022, we'll be expanding into other states. You know, we very much want to be a nationwide insurer. We want to be an international insurer as well. And, you know, we want to help as many people as we possibly can, driving really leading this industry in a way that we don't believe many other companies can. Right. And I don't just mean that from a, you know, technology perspective and so on, because we are very much ahead of most, if not all of our competitors there, but it's from that value perspective as well. Right. We want to lead this industry and, you know, make working at a insurance company, you know, really, really awesome. It is awesome working at Just. We want that reputation of this industry to be good because of good actions by this insurance industry as well. And we want to help as many people as we possibly can to help to manage their risks around them, stop bad things happening, and help them to, you know, save money on their insurance as well.
I also think it speaks to the state of the U.S. auto insurance industry that it took a South African to comment like that even people from South Africa are like, this is messed up, guys. So I applaud your ambition, and I'm a little bit embarrassed for the state of the industry here. My last question for you is, if you had a money slogan, what would it be?
$1 for you is a meal for someone else.
Very powerful. And I think that ties back a little bit to, you know, the money memory that you shared earlier in our conversation, I'm guessing. Is that right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Murray, this has been such an expansive conversation. I feel like my brain has just like grown into my skull over the course of this last half hour. For our listeners who are interested in learning about Just or potentially signing up for your platform, where can they go?
Great question. They can go through to our website, of course. That is just.insure, insure. And, you know, if you want to reach out to me personally, no problem at all. My email address is Murray, Murray, @just.insure as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time and your money memories with us. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Ilona.
Did you know that the best way to support a podcast is free? You can show your appreciation for Money Memories by leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. For more episodes, go to www.moneymemoriespodcast.com or download and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.